Keith, you ready for the big outing tonight?
I'm ready for a big show outing. Show bonding. Tonight.
Show bonding is what we're doing. We'll get to the Red Sox. We'll get to
It's a show holiday party.
Yeah. We'll get to Breslow and the weird excuses he's making.
It's going great so far. Red Sox offseason going great.
Let's start with what we care about.
Yeah, that's right. Us.
Which is us.
Yep.
Big show outing tonight. Level 99 in Natick. That's where we're going?
Yeah, so I've never done one of these escape rooms before in my life. I've heard a lot of good things about escape rooms. I think it'd be right up my alley. And puzzles, games like that. Nick's been there, done that.
So Nick, a couple times, yeah.
Nick, oh, couple times.
Okay. Do they like change the answers, or is Nick just going to be like,
they do put like new stuff in.
Every room we walk into, we're just fumbling over everything, and Nick's
30 seconds. Nick's on the other side. Like, guys, I'm done.
Like, son of a gun. How'd you know that?
So what are we in store for here, Nick? Can you break it down to us?
I was looking at the website. It's much more involved than I thought. We were stuck in one safe room and just had to get way out. No. It's much more involved than I thought.
At least 40 different rooms or something like that. You just go
40
in.
40 different rooms.
We're going to be in 40 rooms?
You got a couple minutes to complete like a little puzzle or do like a physical task or whatever.
Are we on the same
team?
Or who is this versus?
Physical task?
Oh,
physical
there's one where you like climb monkey bars and hit buttons.
You ready for that?
No.
Monkey bars and buttons? No?
No, I'm not ready for that.
All right.
The stretch?
Yeah, I would recommend a stretch. The website did say wear sneakers, so I was like, all right, there's something.
I am wearing sneakers.
So I'm wearing sneakers.
I looked into that.
I'm ready for some sneakers. Can you bring, this is a question for the group, can you bring your beverage in there?
I don't think so.
Oh, boy.
What do you mean?
Well,
I haven't tried, but I
just got to slam it. And then
you got to pound your drinks, go in there, do a puzzle.
That's how I like them anyways.
But this is kind of up my alley for like the MTV challenge, is that it's not all heights and jumping off of buildings. A lot of times where they get you is the puzzles.
Oh, let me tell you.
Mind game. And I'm not saying I'd be good at it, but I want to see how it goes.
Why has CT won so many times? Man, the man crushes a tangram.
He's really good at puzzles.
Crushes a tangram. It good is. At puzzles. Yeah. Good at math. Why is CT physical behemoth?
That's Shasheen Tech right there for him.
Why does he win so much?
Yeah.
The puzzle game.
Puzzles.
Puzzle game will trip up bananas. Bananas won a lot.
Puzzles because...
Maria, I know she's a local, as is CT. Maria, not so hot at puzzles.
No, you need to partner with puzzles.
You get Laurel in front of a puzzle.
Yep.
Solving that thing
so
like
is this,
read about. Yeah.
Nick, is this timed? Are we working together or working against each other? How is this going
to
go?
Most of them, you're working together.
Okay.
There's somewhere you can go head-to-head.
Oh, good. So there's competition.
All right.
Good.
And then most of them are timed. Like, I think it's like 4 minutes, 5 minute max. On
that's what I thought
so
I read on the website.
That's kind of cool.
I thought I read on the website you get like 3 or 4 minutes in each room and then you're on to the next one.
For yeah. 4 minutes, so that's plenty of time.
What am I doing with the other 3 minutes, 59 seconds. Yeah, exactly. So,
that's
what we're doing tonight. Me, you, Nick, Billy, Terp.
Yep.
We're going to be solving puzzles.
The Fab Five, they call us.
Drinking beers.
Slamming beers, doing puzzles.
That's a good
what
show outing.
What do you want to do?
That's a good show outing.
I'm excited. So we'll try to document some of it, and we can put it up Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. See how it goes. Now, if it starts to go south, maybe we won't.
It's just
maybe we won't post
five
it.
Morons staring
just
at a puzzle.
Just like, I don't know. Does anybody? Try this. Like, no, that's not it.
We already tried it.
Is he screaming at each other? I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm hoping for a lot of yelling at each other is what I'm hoping for.
It could be.
Just a lot of anger.
It's going to get intense.
As it intensifies with a few extra beers. So that's a show outing tonight. We'll be doing...
Full recap tomorrow for you.
Full recap of all the...
All five of us be here?
Good question.
Great question.
TBD.
There's monkey bars involved. Somebody might break an arm.
Monkey bars and button pushing.
My wife did that.
There's
like
a balance beam that shakes.
Falling off the monkey bars, breaking an arm. Yeah.
My daughter's obsessed with the monkey bars.
Yeah.
And so she was telling me, so she's five, does monkey bars like crazy.
What a brag.
No, she, what do you want that? I have a daughter?
She's flying around. She's like a
lunatic.
Ultimate Ninja Warrior.
So the other day, because it's been cold, so we pack her like a little hat and mittens. She's like, Dad, I don't want mittens.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, I can't do the monkey bars and mittens. I'm like, all right. So now we got to get her like these like Spider Tech gloves so she can do the monkey bars and gloves in the middle of the winter. I'm like,
all right.
So, like, the teacher told me I can't climb on top of the monkey bars. I'm like, yeah, you probably shouldn't climb on top of the monkey bars.
Let me tell you, I'm walking, I pick
it's
up
bad news.
Kids are like hanging upside down on those
ridiculous.
Things. It's ridiculous is what it is. Exactly what were you saying, Nick?
If you weren't jumping off those things as a kid, you weren't doing it right.
No, that's true.
Mm.
They are just very dangerous. There's a good Instagram video of guys talking about what goes into the planning of a playground. They're like, yeah, we should have like, you go up here and then there's like a step that really just goes to nowhere and that's fine. Kids will figure that one out. And then like, I'll be like, everything's so dangerous, but it's like, what are you going to do?
It is. They're like, but the ground's rubber.
Ground, yeah, they can bounce off that.
Yeah, no,
a couple wood chips. A couple wood chips?
Wood
Woodchips.
Yeah.
That'll be fine.
Oh, no, 10 feet in the air. Woodchips. Yeah, they're good.
That's fine. Kids go up there.
Land right on your head. You're fine. Don't worry about it.
Some of those slides that are just like go screaming down. Yeah. Like, whatever. They'll figure it out.
You know what? When the sun's right on them and it's 95 degrees in the summer,
we need it super hot. Yeah, where is it directly in the sunlight?
Yeah. Oh, right here.
If we could make that thing a good 150 degrees,
touch the slide
for children in their shorts, burning their ass cheeks off.
Correct.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's kind of sort of what we'll be doing here tonight. Holiday season, show bonding, show outing.
Very excited about taking
it to the next level at level 99 in Natick. I'm curious for your feedback on the text line, 617-779-7937.
Right, if you can
let us know. Yeah.
Text line says, Keith, you can bring in your drinks, but you'll probably spill them. All right.
Depending on which
that's
one we're
you.
In, we'll probably
that's you, Texter. No offense. That's you.
Somebody says that we do need the audio of the five of you screaming at each other. That's true. We should turn our phones on and just see how it goes.
Just let a whole bunch of bleeps.
Yep. Yeah, right. Not exactly. Maybe for the podcast.
So that's what we're doing now, like right after the show, right?
I think so.
Okay.
We can do like a quick little, we can talk about how great the show was, and then we can head out there.
Then get out of here and do that. Okay.
We'll pat ourselves on the back for how good the show was.
So we'll sit in traffic.
And then we'll go sit in traffic. Oh, the rain traffic today? God forbid. A little rain in the forecast. It was a crawl out there today.
If I'm being honest, I never do this, but I parked at the closest door I could to walk in.
Oh, because you want to get a little wet?
I did not.
You're afraid to get a little
wet? I did not want to get a little wet. I don't feel like it impacted my driving.
You know what I saw on the way in?
Yet I got here and I saw, you know, Ken was all bundled up.
You hit his park on.
Ken had a jacket. He had a hat.
He had an umbrella.
What's wrong with an umbrella?
I mean, we work 2 feet from here. Walk to work. If you're waiting for the school bus, get it. If you're driving to work and then walking into your door, which is like less than 100 feet, what are you doing with the umbrella?
I mean, Ken's
it's more hassle.
Ken's a boss. Ken's got meetings.
That's
Zooms.
True. Can't be soaked. He's just drenched in the Zoom meeting. They're like, would you just get out of the shower?
Yeah.
This guy's raining here in Boston. No, but you know what I saw, which don't think is a great sign for how the day is going to go.
Okay.
I'm walking in. So you went in this door, so you missed it. On the other door over here by like our little, I guess, office, dead bird.
A dead bird.
Wet bird. I walked right by it. I was like, what is this? And I don't know if it was natural causes. I didn't have time to do like an autopsy. I kind of kept going, but
we could check in with Carson upstairs. Maybe it zoomed right in one of their windows
dead
up there. Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. They love windows.
Dead wet bird. I was like, oh. And then I'm sure when we go at it, when the work's over, it's going to be just covered in bugs. I'm like,
no, I'm sure it'll be gone. I'm sure it won't be there.
I'm
sure it won't be there for the rest of the week.
What, we got a fox out here? Like, who's taking a bird?
They look like they're dead, but they come back to life.
Maybe it flies away. That'd be amazing. Maybe it's playing possum. That'd be the best thing of all.
Our good pal, Arcan would know this. Our good pal, Jeremy Conley.
Yes.
Would enjoy taking a smoke break during the old night show from time to time.
Throw a dart here and there.
And at one of our old radio studios in Dorchester, there was a fish that was in the parking
lot. I'm sorry?
A fish was right on the harbor. A seagull must have come over and sat
classic.
Up on like the roof and like dropped a fish. That fish was there for maybe a month.
You guys want to go see a dead body?
So how long?
I mean,
how long is that bird there?
I'm not moving the bird.
I won't touch it.
No, it's probably ripe with disease. You think that thing's carrying a couple things? You get the walking pneumonias going around. Could have coronavirus.
Yeah,
I'm not touching that bird.
Yeah, it might as well be a pangolin out there. I'm not going near that thing. So
that's the kind of day we're dealing with. Rainy day. Slow traffic, dead birds.
Yeah. Should be a fun show outing after the program, but I'd say that's a bad omen for, the Red Sox and free agency.
Could be the Sox.
You like Breslow there? We got to get uncomfortable.
Yeah, you gonna do that?
You're going to do that now?
When are you going to do that?
Why are you getting uncomfortable now? All the players are gone.
Guys, time to get uncomfortable.
What? Why are you getting uncomfortable? We got to get comfortable with getting uncomfortable.
He's like, still?
Now?
Yeah.
All the players are gone.
The players are signing with other teams.
Soto's gone. Freed is gone.
Max Freed.
I guess you could still go get Corbin Burns, but
doesn't sound like
anyone assume they're going to get him?
Did you see the two different reports that came out over the night? I don't know how late you were tracking this stuff.
I believe, yes. Here's the one I enjoyed most. Maybe there's a second one that I missed.
Well, there was two. One was maybe positive, and then one kind of went the other.
Yeah.
So that started out.
McAdam was like, they lost out on Freed, but they're preparing an offer for Burns. That one?
Yes.
Yes.
You're like, I didn't believe it for a second,
no.
But I was like, well, they could be preparing an offer like they prepared an offer for Max Fried, and like they prepared one for Juan Soto, and they prepared one for Blake Snell, and they prepared one for Willy Adames, and they prepared one for all these other guys. Possible. But I'm like, they're not going to get him. And then like an hour later, it was like, oh, they're a little worried about how expensive it's going
to
be.
Okay, this is from Mark Feinsand.
Yeah, yeah.
Red Sox appear hesitant to spend what it will take for Corbin Burns. That's, okay, not great. The next line, I gasped.
It was a gasp-worthy statement
when I read the next line. Yeah. So, okay, they're not going to pay Corbin Burns. Weird. Like, how could you possibly wrap your head around that?
I'm shocked.
I was giving him much more slack than you, Keith.
I didn't think they had any chance.
They have $70 million under the CBT to spend, for God's sakes, this year. They offered around $700 million to Juan Soto. I'm like, they're going to get one of these guys. They don't get Corbin Burns. Okay, I don't love that.
Freed.
The next line, I couldn't believe. Yeah, well, Freed's gone.
Oh, yeah, Freed's gone.
They're not going to get Burns.
Unlikely.
They're hesitant to spend on Burns. Yeah.
Who do they got?
They could now pursue.
Who do you got?
A reunion.
What? Oh, Pedro?
Not Evaldi. He just signed.
No.
A reunion with Nick Pivetta.
Sorry? Nick Pivetta. Find me a team that
No, God, please, no!
According to Mark Feinsand.
Find me a team that can turn Juan Soto and Corbin Burns into Nick Pivetta. That was insane. I read the same thing like three times. I was like,
The Nick Pivetta that was here?
That was like Bradford had a tweet yesterday. He's like, the Red Sox view Michael Fulmer as a starter. And I was like, okay. Like, now's not the time for that. Who cares what they think of Michael Fulmer right now? That is insane to me. Nick Pivetta?
Juan's in the Red Sox mind.
Juan Soto.
It's the triple office meme where they're all aiming at each other, all drawing guns on each other. It's a triple office meme. It's Juan Soto. It's Corbin Burns.
Yep.
And Nick Pivetta. And they're all just like, same player.
Nick Pivetta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they might get who had a lot of strikeouts out of the pen the last season or the season before that. Honestly,
hates the pitch clock.
Not a horrible player, but like
not a good one.
Fifth starter,
yeah.
So Corbin Burns is a true ace. Max Fried is an ace. Mm-hmm. Certainly on this team, he is. I know we got paid a ton of money in one of the biggest contracts ever, but that's the thing is if you're waiting until free agency to help your team, you're gonna have to overpay. I mean, $765 million is insane. For Juan Soto.
Yeah, I mean,
what was it, 210 for Max Fried?
218.
Or 218.
It was $1 million more than David Price a decade ago or whatever for the highest paid lefty ever. Yeah.
That's what it is. And so, yeah, I mean, in the dubs in the chat saying Max Fried isn't an ace. All right, on this team, he's the number one. So it's sort of semantics, but he would improve this team. They didn't get him. He goes to the Yankees. And now you're like, all right, Corbin Burns. If you sign Corbin Burns, I don't give a rat's behind that you missed out on Max Fried.
Yeah.
Corbin Burns is better than Max Fried.
I don't give a dead, wet bird.
Which is outside, and I could give it to you. I could go get it. I could put some gloves on and get it to you.
Yes.
But, if they sign Corbin Burns, I'll never even mention Max Fried again. I mean, and then if it's Red Sox-Yankees and it's Fried versus Burns, great, awesome, good matchup. But, this thing is comical. It's not surprising. This is exactly the path that I thought the Red Sox offseason would take.
I am a little surprised. Shame on me, but I am a little surprised we've gone from Juan Soto to forget about Max Fried and Corbin Burns. Can I interest you in Nick Pivetta?
Cue the Drake meme. Corbin Burns, no. Nah. Nick Pivetta?
Yeah.
Nick Pivetta?
Nick.
Where do I sign?
Nick Pivetta?
Let's go Red Sox.
It's the Patriots offseason?
How uncomfortable is it to sign Nick Pivetta? By the way, if you were going to have a reunion with a former Red Sox pitcher, not that he's an ace or number one.
Evaldi.
I would have taken Evaldi.
3 years, $75 million, $25 million a year.
If you told me at the beginning of the offseason they bring in two pitchers and an impact bat, and one of the two pitchers was Evaldi and the other one was somebody better than him, I'd say, good offseason. But now not even him. Nick Pivetta doesn't count. Nick Pivetta's not even, that's nothing. Last year, Nick Pivetta had a 4.14 ERA in 145 innings.
Sounds low. I would have guessed higher than
honestly,
but okay. Look, he had a good year, and he went 4.14.
No, that's useful.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
But 145 innings, okay. Put him in there as, your fifth. If you have Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford and Pivetta as, three of your guys, all right. But what else you got? Not a Max Fried.
Oh, my God.
And it doesn't look like a Corbin Burns.
Juan Soto, when no one expected the Red Sox to really sign Juan Soto at the end of the day, get mad about that if you want. That's fine. The Red Sox should be in on guys like Juan Soto. They should land one every once and then. But none of us really expected that. Where I think you're really allowed to get angry and upset and wonder what the hell's going on is when they're not going to sign Max Fried or Corbin Burns, and then they give you Aroldis Chapman and Nick Pivetta. That's when you're allowed to be outraged, full on, you know, be upset with the team, stop watching the team, stop showing up, sort of. Like, I get it at that point in time. Yeah. When it's Aroldis Chapman and Nick Pivetta.
Aroldis Chapman.
I get it. Now, here's
the
question.
By the way, they signed Aroldis Chapman a week ago.
Yeah.
And since then, they've just missed out on guys. Like, that's all they've done.
What so
they
timeline?
They start with Aroldis Chapman. You're like, all right, tough timing. Not, you don't want him to be the face of free agency. And then another day goes
by. Well,
they
didn't just officially sign him yesterday.
Yeah, they announced it last. That was good timing.
But they announced. Okay, so they officially signed it. Great. Yeah. But they originally
strikeout
signed
on Fried, announced Chapman.
They got on the board.
I think it was December 3rd. I think it was.
That sounds right. It was about a week ago. Yeah.
Over a week. I think it was last Tuesday. Yeah. We're like, Chapman? And then since then, they didn't get Juan Soto. They didn't get Max Fried. They didn't get Willy Adames. And now they're scared of how much it's going to cost for Corbin Burns.
It's pretty much Burns, Bregman, or Buss. It's pretty much where you're at.
Good Bregman update.
There is. We'll get to it. Yeah. Do you give the Red Sox any benefit of the doubt, or are you starting to panic? I'm now where Keith has been, and credit to Keith, because he was there before me. I thought this would be a little different. They're running out of names to make it different, and trust me, Nick Pivetta does not make it different enough. Real quick, and I already see a call on this. We'll get to these calls coming up. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Carrabas had what I thought was a strange tweet last night. Love the work of Jared Carrabas.
He's feeling it, though, right now. He's up against it.
He is deep in his feelings right now.
Yeah, I get it.
Down bad, as they say.
What do you say?
I think Craig Breslow is getting dangerously close to having his ability to close being called into question. There's still time to avoid this, but he's teetering on that line currently.
Not great, Bob.
Do you blame Breslow? I mean, maybe minorly I do, but this is a John Henry thing. This is a Tom Werner, John Henry, Sam Kennedy. This is not a Breslow thing. I don't think.
Well, it's a good question.
Not paying Max Fried $218 million is Breslow's fault? That's not Breslow's fault.
But if they had $700 million.
Yeah.
And
around
$700 million. Like, did they tell him this is how much money you have in free agency? Or did they tell him this is how much money you have on this player? Therefore, like, is Breslow saying, all right, maybe I only have $300 million now because we're out of the Soto business. I have $300 million. Do I sink it all in Burns?
Yeah.
Do I sink most of it in Fried?
Yeah, look.
He's the GM.
Somewhere he deserves some blame, but the Red Sox ability to close is not his fault. The Red Sox ability to close is the owner. You got to be willing to open up the checkbook. You got to be willing to spend. That is not their inability to close on a player like, why am I blanking on the pitcher who went to KC last year?
Seth Lugo.
Thank you. That's Breslow.
That's Breslow.
Not closing on Max Fried or Corbin Burns or Soto, that's ownership.
Okay, but do you think they told him? So they were also the owners for Dave Dombrowski. Right?
Yeah.
And so they told Dave Dombrowski, like, hey, go get your starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. And he overspent on David Price, but he got him.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think John Henry has sort of changed a little bit and maybe not gone full Dave Dombrowski time, but closer to that and said, hey, we'll be like, you can go ahead and spend some money. And now Breslow's the one that's saying, like, all right, I kind of want to take these two guys. I would rather have these three guys than this one guy. Like, he might have stronger opinions on the player, which might be holding them back. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying about these big money guys and how that is definitely on John Henry. But if the reports are they're willing to spend and they're still not getting anybody, I don't know. Breslow definitely deserves some blame.
Yep, you got some. I agree with that. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here. We will get to the Bruins later on this hour. What a showing out of them. Red Sox outrage. You want to jump in? They're running out of names. Craig Breslow says to Nesson, to Tom Caron, we better be comfortable with getting uncomfortable, which feels a little late. We do have an update. Arcan texted.
Yeah.
He said the fish's eyes were pecked out and the skeleton was there for months.
Wow. That's intense. I mean, this bird maybe have a similar fate. We'll have to keep our... I'm going to have to use the other door.
Good update there from Arcan. We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. Keith mentioned a very encouraging report on Alex Bregman. We'll get to that.
You said yesterday, you know, you understand the patience that Red Sox fans have been asked to show. As names come off and as we stand here at this moment, you know, as you well understand, that patience is being tested back home. What do you say to fans as you're still, you know, in the middle of this offseason and that opening day isn't tomorrow? What do you say to those fans?
Yeah, no, we are as committed as we were when we started this offseason to putting a team on the field in 25 that's capable of vying for the division and making a deep postseason run. You know, we are working tirelessly tirelessly to deliver the team that fans deserve. And we'll continue to do that from now until opening day and beyond. So I understand the frustration that many fans have carried for a number of years right now. And I think, our players, our staff, and our front office, they share that frustration, and we intend to do everything that we can to improve our team.
They're prepared to do whatever they can. Does anyone believe that?
Nobody does.
Keith, credit to you. I was giving them the benefit of the doubt going into this offseason.
Can't do it.
I'm like, they're $70 million below the luxury tax. They got to spend it on somebody.
Yeah.
Idiot Jones. No. You moron.
No.
I gave them they're running out of names.
They got Chapman, though. They got a Raul
Chapman. They have Chapman. It sounds like if they play their cards right, they can get Nick Pivetta back.
If they could get Nick Pivetta back, the season's back on.
Oh, my God.
Go Sox.
So Max Fried is now a Yankee. Juan Soto is a New York Met. It's kind of Corbin Burns, Alex Bregman, or bust. We'll get to the Bregman update here in a moment.
Yeah, neither one of those sound great.
Nope. Burns doesn't sound Bregman. Like they want to spend on Corbin Burns. And names like Nick Pivetta through Mark Feinsand, that name is being thrown back out. I like Goo on Twitter. Saying, remember when you were laughing off the idea of Zach Gallen?
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't sound so crazy.
Zach Gallen.
They're going to reunite.
I'd take Zach Gallen.
With Nick Pivetta. So let's get to the Bregman update in a moment. All your Red Sox thoughts here at 617-779-7937. But Keith, we're doing a show outing to Level 99.
That's right.
After the program today. Me, you,
show
Nick,
bonding.
Billy, Terp. Show bonding.
Yep.
Some beers.
The big five.
We may have signed up for more than we realize. What's the
tweet
you just got?
Turns out Alex on Twitter says, I would consider Level 99 better for high school and college students. He says, I went for my 28th birthday and left with a hyperextended knee. My mom got a bloody nose.
What?
It is not a casual experience. Good luck. Nick, what the hell? Yo, seriously, did he... He kind of went off-road there a little bit.
Is it dangerous?
I did whip a ball at my sister's head just because I was...
Hyperextended knees and bloody noses?
Bloody nose? What are my chances of getting a bloody nose with this thing?
I don't know. I've never gotten hurt.
My thing is, my nose is like a faucet. If you tap my nose, it'll...
Although, I'm in the same way, so let's stay away from each other.
You know what's funny? Lucas comes home from school, and he's like, oh, so-and-so had a bloody nose. I'm like, oh, did they, like, bonk their head on somebody? He's like, no, their nose started bleeding in the middle of class. I'm like... do you remember when that happened with kids? Apparently,
no, mine
you got,
wouldn't just
you got
like
a nose
bleed.
Like a faucet.
No, you have to punch it, though. It doesn't just like bleed.
I had a friend who maybe he was a bit of a night picker or something like that.
Ew.
But you slept over his house one day, blood all over it, woke up, blood all everywhere,
blood?
All over his pillow.
Looked like a murder
nose.
Scene in there?
Looked like a murder, and it wasn't me.
Yeah, right.
Mrs. Johnson, it was not me.
Stabbed him.
I had nothing to do with that.
There's a missing fork.
But yeah, so we got to be on the lookout for bloody noses
and
hyperextended
knees. I'm not trying to get hurt doing this. I thought this was more of a for the mind. I thought it was like puzzles and things like
stimulate
that.
Stimulate the mind.
That's right.
Tickle the brain.
Brain teasers. I thought that's what we were in store for.
Okay.
There's a lot of brain teasers.
Okay.
So escape.
Do I need to bring like a knee brace? Like this poor guy's got a hyperextended knee.
Terp's gonna have a hyperextended knee on the ground. We're all gonna be hollering at him. Get up!
No. Do we leave him?
Yeah.
Do we carry him? What do
that
we do?
That kid did hurt himself playing ping pong. So.
That's true. I don't want to compare Terp to this individual, but I'll make another challenge reference where Big E, where they had to like...
You're comparing Terp to Big E.
Well, I'm just saying when they were dragging along Big Easy at the end of, I think it was Gauntlet 3.
You don't want to get weighed down
and
in the final.
Brad was in everybody's face. You're going to kill this man!
Brad ran hot.
Brad, I think legitimately, I'm not even joking, I think legitimately saved Big Easy's life. Everybody else
might
was
have.
Like,
they were like,
they
he,
were
he
dragging,
can keep going.
They were dragging a dead corpse along.
I liked the challenge better.
They were all chained together in Gauntlet 3, running the final together.
Yes, I remember.
They were dragging Big Easy along, and Brad's
the
like,
red headband.
You will kill this man!
Like, we want the money, we want the $5,000! Because back then, the prizes was like nothing, remember?
It was like an Iowa boombox.
$5,000 and a gift card to Reebok.
Let's go, get moving. They were ready to murder someone over it.
Now it's like there's so many rules. They can't drink, they can't fight, they can't carry dead bodies across
true.
The finish line. It's not the same.
It's just not the same.
It's gotten worse.
In a related story, enemy of the program, Vinny, didn't make that final.
Wait, no, he didn't. Oh, I forgot about Vinny.
Yeah.
He disappeared.
Yeah, we haven't heard
from him.
I don't
think he wanted the smoke.
No, I don't think he wanted I don't think he wanted that smoke. You want it, Vinny. Natick tonight. Not this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
After we battle some traffic. Okay, let me give you the Bregman update. We'll get to some of these phone calls.
So he says we should just go to the 99 instead of Level 99.
You know what?
Probably safer for us.
Not a bad idea. That's
probably
more
some Gold Fever wings.
Yeah, that's more our speed.
I like that.
Gold Fever wings and beer.
Here we go. This is more Sean McAdam. The Red Sox, along with the Astros, Yankees, Tigers, are considered among the strongest bidders for Bregman. Hang on. Let's put those in order. Astros, Yankees, Tigers, Red Sox. Power rank those for Bregman.
Yankees, stay with the Astros.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Red Sox, then Tigers. Tigers, Red Sox.
Tigers, Red Sox. That's according to a source of knowledge of the free agent process.
Yeah.
Though Bregman has played third base almost exclusively, and he won a gold glove this past year, the Red Sox envision him at second base. Hmm. That would allow Devers to stay at third.
Gotta keep Devers at third.
I also hate that.
Anytime you have Brooks Robinson over there, you gotta keep him at the hot corner.
If you're gonna pay Bregman,
have him play third base.
Make him play. Put him at third base and end the Devers charade. It's a problem. So end that, but fine, you're going to pay him a bunch of money to play him at second base.
Devers doesn't need to play third base.
But at least you're getting Bregman. Let's cross the second base bridge when we get there. At least in this scenario, you're getting Bregman and he's moving to second base.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
Boston's pursuit, according to an industry source, is somewhat complicated by some internal disagreement over Bregman. While manager Alex Cora and team president Sam Kennedy are known to be big proponents of Bregman, I smell a rat here.
Yeah.
The source said some members of the baseball ops staff, including chief baseball officer Craig Breslow,
here we go,
are more circumspect when it comes to the player. So I'm going to tell you, between this story and Carrabas' tweet, someone in the organization, Kennedy, Cora, I don't know who, somebody is ready to lay all this blame at Breslow's feet.
Scapegoat. He's going to be like the Heim Bloom. He's going to be gone in 2 years.
You got to get mad. Thank you. Yeah. You got to get mad at ownership. There's a common denominator here. Breslow's somewhere on the list, but someone in the organization, Kennedy, Cora, maybe it's higher up than that, wants to lay this blame at Breslow's feet. And I think he's going to get blamed for this, and I don't really think he deserves.
What a bizarre report, too. It's one thing to say Breslow doesn't want Bregman and Alex Cora does. To lump Sam Kennedy in there is very strange.
Yeah.
This is going to come across as an insult. It's not. Sam Kennedy has nothing to do with the players they bring in.
No.
Sam Kennedy is more in charge of Star Wars night and who's singing the anthem. Like, that's more his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I don't think they're like, hey, Sam, who should play third base? That's not his thing.
It shouldn't be.
He's not president of player personnel or whatever his title is. He's got nothing to do with the players. So Craig Breslow is the guy that's in charge of the roster. And obviously you do want input from your manager, especially a guy who's been here so long. And specifically when it comes to somebody like Bregman, who he's worked with. So if those two don't see eye to eye on a player, I think that's the story. I found it odd last night that it was sort of lumped in like, see, Cora and Kennedy are on one side. Like, Kennedy and Cora, that's who they want. It's like, well, who cares who he wants? Like, it should be Breslow and Cora, and then how much will John Henry sign off on those guys offering him or that's not it. Offering him that contract?
I'll tell you, Sam Kennedy liking Bregman makes me question my infatuation with Bregman. I've been pretty on board with Bregman all along. Now I'm like, maybe Keith was onto something.
But why am I taking Bregman and moving him to second base?
I don't know.
You get more value for Bregman at third.
I do know.
Well, because of Devers. Because Cora's
Because they've invested $300 million at him, and it's an acknowledgement of a mistake if you got to move him off. So, I mean, that's why. That's a horrible reason, but that's the reason.
But I feel like if you have a gold glove third, and I know gold gloves get tossed around. That doesn't mean everything. But he won a gold glove at third base. You have the guy who, you pointed out, led the league in errors at third base for 7 consecutive years.
That's from Tomasi. I didn't realize that. Hat tip to Tomasi. He's led the AL in errors at third base 7 years in a row.
So, all right, you screwed up. But for the best for the team, and I'm sure guys like Tanner Houck, who throw a lot of ground balls, want vacuums in the infield. Let Devers be your DH. Focus on being a DH. The Red Sox had the greatest DH in the history of sports. And so you got good bang for your buck then when David Ortiz was just smacking dingers all the time. Let Devers DH. You screwed up. He's not a third baseman, but you're not going to trade him, and you're not going to move him to first, and you don't need to force him to play third base, especially if Bregman's available. Your best lineup would be Bregman at third base, if you get it.
Yep.
Devers DHing. Story. And then you can figure out whether Marcelo Mayer is ready or not, and then you can figure out short and second later.
And by the way, you might get a lot more out of his bat at DH than when you're playing him in the field, because he's always dealing with some sort of thing. He always goes into a rut. He's got a shoulder thing going on.
He's hurt all the time. Or not hurt. Or yeah, he's not injured, but he's hurt a lot.
Yeah, it's impacting his play on the field. So just take that out of it. He sucks at third. Stick him at DH. He's a bat only anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe you get more out of his bat.
Sure.
So, there's a million reasons to do it that way, but great. Sam Kennedy and Cora want Bregman. Sure they
but
do.
But I wonder if part of Breslow not wanting him.
Breslow doesn't.
I wonder if part of it is like, you know, Cora's going to play Devers at third. So if we get Bregman, I don't want to pay Bregman what we're going to have to pay him and then put him at second.
It might just be, you know, look.
Or maybe he doesn't like the player.
Aging models, you know, all these analytics. Well, he's 30 years old or about to be whatever he is, 31. Yeah. And
he is coming off one of his worst years.
Coming off, and you know, they have these projection models and it doesn't net out well. That's fine. But the real reason they're not going to get Bregman isn't the GM, I don't think. It's going to be the owner who won't pay. Justin is in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, Justin.
Gentlemen, first off, you guys were right about Drake May. You needed to play him from day one, so apologies there.
All right.
but also, I really have just so much disdain for Craig Breslow, and I think that a lot of this is at his feet because of the report that you just mentioned. Sam Kennedy speaks now for John Henry, so I think he's being referenced in that report to show us that ownership is willing to pay what it takes to get Bregman. It's just Breslow doesn't necessarily value him at the level that Cora does. And the other two reasons I think Breslow
If Henry wants him, he's the boss. He says, I don't care. Pay him. Go get him. The Red Sox have done that a million times under John Henry's ownership. Not so much recently, but they've made a bunch of big ticket signings and overruled the GM. That's part of why Theo left.
Have they overruled the GM? I just wasn't aware of that. I thought always that the GM was going to Henry and pushing him to spend, and that's why when Theo came back.
Carl Crawford was a very prominent. Theo did not want Carl Crawford.
I think Pablo Sandoval, Hanley Ramirez probably was not. Was that Charrington then?
After Theo.
Yeah, no, it was, but like I'm not sure they wanted him.
No, I'm saying.
But there's been examples. Bobby Valentine, the GM, didn't want. That was above him. I think that might have been a Lucchino hire, but still, like there have been times where the guy in charge gets overruled on the big ticket guys. Like, hey, we need to sell more jerseys. We need to sell more tickets.
If John Henry wants him, John Henry gets what he wants, right? He's the boss. So he's not going to say, I want him, but my GM doesn't want to sign him. Tough. I write the checks. So that doesn't fly with me.
Well, if you're talking about one of these top five free agents, yes. After that, some of the other names, that's going to be more of a Breslow decision.
I told you. And Lugo?
Yeah, Seth Lugo's one.
Not going an extra couple million on Seth Lugo, I don't think that's John Henry. I think that's Breslow.
But even some of these trades maybe, right? Like if you do end up trading some of your prospects, all right, John Henry's like, whatever. Like, just tell me what the bottom line is.
No, I think that, right, the payroll aspect will be on ownership of the prospects you trade.
Yeah.
Like Mookie Betts, that was on ownership to trade Mookie Betts.
They told Chaim Bloom to trade Mookie Betts. But got day one on the job.
But the crap-ass return was on Bloom.
100%.
So, I mean, you know, sometimes there is more nuance there, but that's how I'd look at it. 617-779-7937. We got more of your phone calls here on Jones and Keith. A lot of Red Sox talk. Let's get to the Bruins, who just suffered a savage beatdown last night against a quality opponent in Winnipeg. What's wrong with them? That's next.
Up top, Pionk. Here it comes. Just wide. The rebound. They score. Spin out in front. Shifley shoots. He scores. Now right of the net. Velarde shoots. He scores. Pionk. Here it comes. Deflected. They score. And they score. From a crazy angle, it sneaks by Swayman over at the far post. And for the Boston Bruins, they're going to start a five-game road trip, suffering an 8-1 loss here in Winnipeg.
I'm sorry, Judd.
What? Final score is what now?
What?
They gave up a snowman. Gave up a snowman. Never good.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that's rough. That is rough stuff.
We spent 2 days discussing this in grab bag when the Bruins came up. It's like, okay, Bruins have a real game against Winnipeg. They're playing well.
Circle this game.
Under Joe Sacco. Let's see. It's one of the only real opponents they played. They beat up on a lot of dog crap.
What happened?
8-1.
They got destroyed. They got destroyed. You're right. They were 7-2 under Sacco.
Yeah.
Going into this one. And I didn't want to make too much of it, but like we knew they weren't playing great teams. One of the teams fired their coach along that stretch. So as bad teams, they needed to pile up points, and they did. But this went right back to all the worst stuff that was under Jim Montgomery.
Correct.
Like all the penalties and then not being able to kill penalties. They gave up 3 power play goals.
Okay, so the Bruins had, there were more penalties.
More penalties.
There were matching fighting six, majors and everything like that. There were 6 power plays. They gave up 3 goals. Correct.
Yeah, so that's not going to get it done. So your first goal of the game is on the power play. You're down 2-0 after the first period. Then you're kind of just swimming in it. And then really the floodgates open in that third period. But you just got outclassed by the better team. And it seems like to this point, and what have they played, almost 30 games. It feels like, I don't know, teams that are bad, they can probably beat. And then like the real class of the league, like they're not there. They're not with those teams. And it's also highlighted to me by the goalie.
Oh, yeah.
The goalie. Yeah, I mean, you give up 8 goals. Like, that's quite a bit. Even if through a power play. Even if you want to take the power play goals away from them, which also is not something that you could do.
No.
But if you take those away, still gave up 5 goals. And so much of the offseason was about Swayman. So much of the early part of the regular season was about Swayman. You're paying this guy now. Is he going to live up to it? Is he going to be one of the best goalies in the league? Is he going to be a top five goalie? Well, last night it wasn't even close who the best goalie was on the ice. And more often than not this year, there hasn't been a goalie advantage for the Bruins, which there should be. And there was for years. Even with Tukarask, people had problems with Tukarask, but more nights than not, Tuukka was the better goalie on the ice. You can't say that about Swayman this year.
No, that was I was a Rask criticizer. That was like, you know, like in a big game, can
in a
you
big
trust
game
him sort
or
of
like
thing?
Certain playoff series, but like on the course of this a guy, regular season, like he's usually pretty good.
Yeah, this guy you can't trust against, you know, a regular season game against the Winnipeg Jets, for
no,
God's
sakes.
No,
the stats are staggering.
Okay, so he is now, I'm just looking this up. He is now at 327 goals against and an 885 save percentage.
You want to know where they both rank?
Well, I was just looking this up. I know the goals against is 45th. I was just looking up save percentage.
So what is there, 32 teams in the league?
Correct.
Right? They're always adding teams. So there's 32 teams.
45th.
I was going to say he's going to be 32nd. Oh, no, he's 45th.
Hang on.
So multiple teams have two goalies better than him.
The goalies around him, Samsonov, who's also highly paid at 44.
Okay.
And Alexei Kolozov.
He's having a slow start.
Right behind.
Yeah, he's not having a great year.
Nedeljkovic, Georgiev. Yeah. These are some of the names that he's around. But where does save percentage rank?
45th.
Oh, they're 45th
both. Oh, yeah. Dual 45th.
Nice. 45th. I like that. That's a nice round thing.
3-2-7. How do you give up 8 goals?
That's right after right after Elvis Merzliskins at 44.
There you go, Elvis.
Right before he's edging out Vitek Vanacek.
All right. And so again, he's doing better than him.
There's Nedeljkovic again.
Keeping pace with him, but yeah, I mean, how much of it is not having the offseason? I'm sure that's a part of it. Now, the defense in front of them certainly hasn't been very good.
Nope.
But has it been this bad? Like, at some point, that's why you're also paying the goalie so much.
Yes.
The goalie should be able to make up for not great defense. Like, those guys haven't been good.
No.
Like, there's no doubt about it. But he's the one that wears these numbers, and he needs to be better.
So you were hoping things changed under Sacco. They kind of did until they ran into a real team in the Winnipeg Jets, who, by the way, started great. They really weren't even playing that great.
That's true. They've
going
cooled
into last night, yeah. And it was 8-1. Then you get Marchand after the game. Quote, this was coming. Our practices have been sloppy.
Nice.
Our execution has been off.
Okay.
And it bleeds into games. The way you practice is how you play. So who do we blame for that? Is that is that Sacco? Is that the captain? Like, that kind of sounds like the captain's problem, does it not?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's the, especially when it's an interim coach. Like, I know he's been around. He's been an assistant. He's been a head coach. Like, I know he's been around, but you just got this guy. He's 10 games into his head coaching time here. And, yeah, I would look at, you know, the veteran players on the team. Yeah, you're right. Speaking of Winnipeg, they started 15-1.
Yep.
And then they went into last night 20-9. So, what is that, 5-8 over their last stretch?
They had dropped off. But they're still a good team.
Yeah, yeah.
And they still bombarded you last night. So, who are you mad at with the Bruins? Are you mad at the captain coming out and saying, yeah, we've been sloppy at practice, and we have one of these coming? That's kind of on you, Brad, and I love Marchand.
But
that's kind of on you.
What's frustrating, too, about it is this would be a game that you would circle. Not that, you know, hey, you want to get 2 points every single night. So, you're playing a bad team. You got to get the 2 points. You got to move on. But this had to be a real kind of test. Like, if all of us are saying that, like, as fans, you're like, all right, what's it going to look like?
They should
Winnipeg
be ready for it.
Shouldn't they?
Yeah.
Doing the same thing.
And then you have Sacco and the Winnipeg coach yelling at one another.
Talk to the players.
They were pouring it on at the end. Like, they poured it on with, like, extra guys, a top power play out there and chasing extra goals at the end of the game to really pump the Bruins last night. So who are you mad at? You mad at Sacco? You mad at the leadership, Brad Marchand? How are you feeling about Jeremy Swayman?
Yeah.
And on top of that, you know, was this just a stretch where they got a jump after firing their coach and now they're back to being the same old team? 617-779-7937. We'll jump in with your Bruins thoughts. All your Red Sox thoughts. Continue to hang out with the Red Sox doing exactly nothing in free agency. Plus, the Patriots. Is Gerard Mayo really coaching for his job? That's next.